Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix with Rod Bryant and Jerry Gordon here on Israel News Talk Radio. Unplug, strap yourself in, because you are about to move beyond the Matrix.
Thank you for joining Jerry and myself, Rod Bryant, here on Beyond the Matrix on Israel News Talk Radio. It is a wonderful week to be alive, another week to breathe in fresh air. You had an amazing birthday this week and had a tropical storm in the Gulf Coast near the United States named after you. What a privilege.
Well, it sure is a privilege of sorts, but both you and I, because we are on the extended Gulf Coast, are
right.
going to share the problems
yes.
that it creates. But I must tell you, I consider this as a significant action by Hashem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's
yeah.
incredible. Hey, we have a great guest lined up for you guys today, Rabbi Jonathan Hausman. And look, we like to bring in unique characters. And the process that this man is working on is an amazing process. And I really think that we need to put it up on the radar. Oftentimes, Jerry, you and I will do a show and then it sort of starts popping up in other media circles. I'm hoping that this show today really highlights the persecution of Christians around the world to an alarming rate. And this rabbi is actually working on the project. So why don't you do a little bit of a bio in the next couple of minutes before we go to the break?
Well, Rabbi John Hausman, who I refer to frequently as Yoni, he refers to me as Yermi, are really long-term family friends going back nearly four decades up in Connecticut. His folks were members of the same shul there as I was. But his family is unique. Firstly, his mother, at the age of 15, went to one of the Bergson Boy presentations, essentially, in Philadelphia and kept the program, which is really mm-hmm. unique. He's also an unusual rabbi in that he knows and understands Islamic doctrine. He speaks perfect Egyptian.
And he is very actively involved in free speech sort of campaigns. We're going to enjoy this show, so don't go away. Stick around. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
This is Ari Fuld. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back from the break. Thank you so much for hanging around. As we said earlier in the introduction, Rabbi Jonathan Hausman is with us. We have a great conversation, an update, actually, on some things that we touched base on in our last show. Jerry, why don't we start off and finish up a little bit of the bio so that the first-time listener can understand who we're talking about and to.
Well, as I said, Rabbi Hausman is unusual. He's one of the few rabbis, frankly, we know about who is a perfect pitch Arabic speaker. And that hails from his sojourn at the American University in Cairo way back when. But on our last program, we sort of dealt with an issue, persecution of Christians, and the fact that he's sitting on a board organization concerned with this topic because they felt that his experience as a student a gazillion years ago at George Washington University, where he took his undergraduate degrees, involved with the student struggle for Soviet Jewry. And they feel, and he feels, that that model is now appropriate for dealing with an abiding question of how the West helps persecuted Christians elsewhere in this world, whether it's the Muslim Ummah or not. So, John, I'd like to talk about a subject that you know pretty well. You and I were conferring about it before we recorded this program. In synagogues throughout the Jewish world, we read from Isaiah 60, one of the seven consolation readings between Tish B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. The question is, have the messianic times arrived, and is the Jewish nation of Israel a light unto the nations?
Well, let's see. That's a fully packed statement in question. Well, the selection you're talking about happens to come from Isaiah chapter 60. And if I'm now, I don't have this, I don't have a Chumash, I don't have a Tanakh open in front of me, I don't have a Bible open in front of me. So I'm working from recollection right now. So I apologize if I'm not remembering correctly. But if I do remember correctly from this past Shabbat, the Haftarah deals with, from a Jewish perspective, how God is still working in our midst. In other words, you have to put this in historical context, okay? Our ancestors, the Jewish ancestors, had been exiled following the Babylonian conquest in 587, 586, depending upon how you count the years. Because from the rabbinic point of view, from the Talmud's point of view, there's some discrepancy between the rabbinic historical record and the general historical record. But our ancestors had been exiled by the Babylonians. And the community eventually, or some portion of the community eventually, was allowed to return following Cyrus's conquest of the Babylonians, 540, 535 BCE, before the Common Era, which non-Jews would call BC. And this community of returned exiles really were struggling with the issue of belief that God was still working in their midst. And indeed, if you take a look at the chapter immediately preceding chapter 60, Isaiah 59, almost the entire chapter deals with the question of where is God? Where is God in our midst? Where is God in our lives? Those kinds of things. And along comes, and that's all part of this progression in Isaiah, beginning with chapter 40, this what people like to call as Second Isaiah or Deutero Isaiah, because some of the themes are distinctly different from the first 40 chapters. There's no doubt about it. This second piece deals with exiles, points to, you know, the great future for the Jewish people and for God's people, a people that was connected to a deity, God, a parameters of behavior, the Torah, and land itself, okay? The covenant encompassed all those three things. It's you know, Franz Rosenzweig, he really put it very succinctly. We said we are a people of God, Torah, and God, Torah, and Israel. Okay, and Israel could mean the people, Israel, but in this case, Israel means the land. So you know, you have a regained possession of the land as promised, but now how were our ancestors existing within that land? So you have this community of God's chosen people, a people that has this specific covenant, a specific contract with the Almighty. Are they in a condition to be an Or LaGoyim? Are they in a condition to be a light unto the nations? So, this is the context out of which Isaiah 60 presents itself, where it begins, Kumi Ori Kiva Orech, arise, shine your light. Your light has come. The glory of God rises upon you. You know, and it's very interesting because Jerusalem is seen in the feminine. The language that's used here is seen in the feminine. It's definitely poetic symbol and poetic style for the entire people of God. And, you know, this is where we absolutely find ourselves with regard to this particular chapter that we read. You know, the prophet renewing the promises of a new day for a community based on God, Torah, and Israel. Now, what ends up happening, interestingly, is the church ended up using chapter 60 as a subtext for support in terms of Jesus being the Son of God. Okay.
They also use that for a replacement theology.
Oh, without sure. question, yeah. Rod, without question. Yeah. Okay. If you take a look at the Hebrew, it's very simple. God is working in the Jewish midst. There's a foreshadowing of a reconstitution of our Jewish ancestors in the land of Israel, integrally connected. We're talking about a physical Jerusalem. We're not talking about a heavenly Jerusalem. We're talking about a physical people with an enduring covenant to God. We're not talking about a replacement for the people of Israel. You know, you're talking about an actual people, not a people based on faith, as it were. So, you know, and the use of light is very interesting in this regard, because from our point of view, from Jewish commentaries, if I'm remembering the commentary correctly, and I have to put that out there, you know, this use of light, which is used in the seven Haftorahs that we will conclude this coming Saturday, as a matter of correct. Fact, with the seventh Haftorah of Consolation right before Rosh Hashanah, this use of light is light for the righteous, okay? It's not light in terms of the light of the Son of God, okay? And interestingly, within our prayers that we recite when we take the Torah out of the Ark, there is a direct refutation for the Christian's view, the church's view of what these chapters means when we recite Ana Avda Dekudsha Berichu, that Aramaic preamble, as it were, right before we take the Torah out. We are the servants of the Holy One, blessed be He. And this is in the English rendering, before whom and before whose glorious Torah we bow at all times. We do not rely upon angels, nor do we rely on Samichna Arba Allahin, which literally means we do not rely upon the Son of God.
Right.
You know, it's a direct refutation to the church's view of Isaiah 60 here.
So the question is, do you believe that we have arrived in messianic times?
Well, I don't know. I'm gonna punt on this
no,
one.
No,
it's
the
not
reason the reason why we people. Ask is this is I understand our sages say that we shouldn't pontificate and obsess about Mashiach, etc., right? But this is the word on almost every person's lips out in the nations. Right, especially in the Christian world.
Oh, and not just the Christian world. You have. Look, I have a number of evangelical pastors who write to me all the time. Last calendar year, there were four blood moons.
Correct.
Does this mean? What does this mean from the Jewish context? And so, well, four blood moons. It means that we have, you know, four full. We have four times during the year in the Jewish months where you literally have two new moons right there, right in the, within the month. You know, it's, they pick up on it much more than we pick up on it. You know, for us, the messianic, this light and radiance are a foreshadow of the messianic future. Okay. But of course, you know, we have to create the conditions so that God's radiance will be brighter than the light of the sun.
So we could at least say that on the minds of people in the nation, especially Christians, have this perspective that we are in very unique times. And I think that most of us, and even many rabbis that we live, that I know of, speak that we're in very unique prophetic times. The question now has to be begged to be asked, and we only have probably a minute left in this segment, do you believe that Israel is being a light to the nations as it was expected to be? Because Genesis 12:3, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, says, the nations will be blessed by you.
Right.
Right? And, you know, the question is, are we doing that now? And I know that they're in science and technology. We could say, yes, the nations are being blessed by us. But is that the kind of blessing that we're talking about? You can quickly hit on it before we go to the break.
Listen, I think it incorporates those kinds of contributions that the Jewish people in the state of Israel happen to be making to the world. But I also think it revolves around the fact that Israel is now, A, physically the center of the largest Jewish community in the world. B, it's the largest center of Torah study and traditional Jewish study in the world. And it's these kinds of things, when combined, end up allowing the Jewish people to bring the knowledge of God, okay, the one true God,
right,
you know, to the world at large. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that those people...
Go ahead and wrap that sentence up.
Yeah, I'm not saying that those people who are not Jewish should all convert. That's not what
Correct.
I'm saying at all.
Correct. And we'll talk about that.
But
yes.
From the Jewish point of view, is if they're living their lives according to the 7 Noahide commandments,
right?
There we have it.
Right.
They're on a continuum. One can say that they're on the road to monotheism as we Jews understand it. Okay. And isn't that what we're?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to a break. Don't leave. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we are back from the break. Thank you. We just want to remind you that the Torah Learning Channel is the official sponsor of Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's TorahLearningChannel.com. We have now over 160 rabbis and rabbinical organizations, all in English and in some Spanish, that are teaching the best kosher Torah lectures you'll find anywhere, all on one streaming source, TorahLearningChannel.com. You can also find it on YouTube if you're in the United States, Roku, and also, I believe, Amazon Fire. So take it a chance to look, TorahLearningChannel.com. Jerry, why don't we start off with our next question?
Yoni, you often cite your Zaidi as warning, what starts with the Jews never ends with the Jews. What are some of the biblical and historical examples of totalitarian oppression of Jews eventuating in actions against Christians to illustrate his warning?
Oh, well. Well, listen, my grandfather was, this is my maternal grandfather, he was traditionally educated in the Ukraine. And he was prepared so that his family could send him off to Slobodka Yeshiva to study. And I wouldn't say by quirk of fate, but certainly by decisions on his part, he literally decided that it was better to be a live Jew in the Golden of Medina than a dead Jew over in Tsarist Russia. So he stole across the border. And this goes, this all is impacted into and impacted by his statement. So he stole across the border, ended up making his way to Hamburg, Germany.
By the way, what year, about what time frame are we talking
1908.
About? 1908.
Yeah. And family lore, there is some, family lore has some dispute as to what the date is, but if you take a look at the records at Ellis Island, he came in 1908.
Okay.
All right. He ended up in Hamburg, Germany. The boat on which he had purchased passage, the company went bankrupt, and he then had to find his way from, believe it or not, walking from Hamburg, Germany to Dubrovnik.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And he picked up a boat there and ended up making his way to Ellis Island. And when you asked him why he came here, he was upfront about it. He said, you know, yeah, I will never forget this. He says, you know, your grandmother says that I was born in 1892. He said, let me tell you, I don't know when I was born, because these were the conditions in the Ukraine at the time for Jews. You had marauding packs of Cossacks coming through. You had hysteria whipped up against Jews for whatever reason. Said they used any canard that could be foisted upon them and they could take to the populace at large. I mean, I hope some of this rings sounds similar to what we see elsewhere in the world today. He said, you know, all I can really tell you is because of the dislocation that we suffered, I was born between two pogroms. One pogrom was in 1881. The other pogrom was 1890. I know I was born between Purim and Pesach, for those who are not Jewish, between the holiday of Purim, that's Esther, and Passover. He said, so when I arrived on these shores, I knew that I could be no younger than having been born in 1890. And the first day of Pesach was April 12th. So I arbitrarily chose my birthday, the birthday of freedom. I became free April 12th, 1890.
Beautiful.
I mean, yeah, isn't it? It's just an unbelievable piece of family lore.
Now, I just want to let the listener know that your grandfather walked, schlepped from Hamburg to Dubrovnik. It's about 2,000 miles. You realize that?
Yeah. He went from Vinnytsia, which is in eastern Ukraine. If you look on at a map, it's dropped below Kiev. He walked from there, stole across the Russo-German border, made his way to Hamburg, and then had to go to Dubrovnik. So, yeah, he was quite fit.
Yeah, no doubt. Quite fit. A lot like you then, right?
Now, listen, I'll tell you. If I can be one-tenth the man he was.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just unbelievable. So he made this statement about what starts with the Jew never ends with the Jew, based on personal experience. So if you take just in context what he went through, and you take a look at what's happening in various areas of the world today, to Christians, there is a similar experience, you know. And listen, just in the news this past over the past few days, you know, there are you know, Shaklov Attire, the discussions taking place between Russia and Turkey and what to do in Afrin and Syria and whatnot, you know, because of ISIS. I mean, this is all splayed out, but with a different faith group, as it were. I mean, for us Jews, we're not just a people of faith. We're a people of you know, it's a religio-ethnic identity.
Right. It's an action.
A religio-ethnic national
right.
identity wrapped into one.
That's good.
And it's very much the same with a number of the peoples in the Middle East, the Coptic Christians, the Maronite Christians, and things of that sort. You ask about historical examples. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the Babylonians? You know, vis-a-vis the Jews? Do you want to start with the Seleucid Greeks? Do you want to start with the Romans? If you want to start with the Romans, which era? You know, the Roman destructions, you know, the Roman war against the Jews from 66 to 74. Do you want to start with the Bar Kokhba revolt? Do you want to start with the expulsions from Europe, England and France and Spain and Portugal? You know, where do you want to start in terms of the Jewish experience and Jews just being, you know, hunted and raped, pillaged and plundered just because Jews were Jews? So we see this splayed out today, you know, all across the Middle East. And listen, it's not just the Middle East, too. Take a look at the depredations under which Christians are suffering in mainland China and North Korea, the church in Cuba and Venezuela.
I mean, how about in
areas
Africa?
Of Africa, Nigeria,
yes.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, I mean, at least the way I look at it, it's pretty much the same thing. And with regard to the statement that my grandfather made, listen, it just seems that ideologies and forms of government that seem to target Jews never seem to stop with Jews.
Correct.
It's just, you know, who's the other? Determine who the other is, and then it just moves on from there. So it could be an other to another other to another other right. to another other. And you know, for us from you know, at least the past 1900 years, if not 2300 years of Jewish history specifically, we Jews, as I stated in a lecture that I gave out in Denver 2.5 weeks ago, we Jews historically have been the quintessential other.
Right.
We're the quintessential outsider.
Right.
Today in the Middle East, it happens to be, oh, I don't know, Chaldean Christians, Maronite Christians, you know, Greek Orthodox, Syrian Orthodox Christians, the Coptic Church. They're seen as the other.
Why is it seems that there's a bit of silence or maybe ignorance? I'm not sure of the Christian churches in the West avoided the discussion and mobilization of aid for so many of these affected people of theirs.
Oh boy, you got 5 hours.
Well, I mean, no, it's a question. It's a question. Look, I do believe it's a natural sort of expression of the Jewish people to come to the defense of a persecuted people, whether it be Christians or Buddhists. It doesn't matter to us, right? The whole point is there seems to be not much discussion in the Christian West about this. I don't know why.
I think there are many reasons for it. You know, the first thing I just want to say is this, you know, if Jews are targeted, if Christians are targeted, you know, you take a look at the basis for Western civilization. I think what we're talking about here is, you know, from the other side, we're talking about a war against Western civilization.
Oh, there and, is most definitely.
Yeah. You yes. know, I, if you're sentient enough to apprehend the appropriate lessons of history, then this is the realization, this is the conclusion to which you have to be brought, okay? And if you're brought to that conclusion, I think the question you ask, Rod, you know, why the indifference, why the contempt rather than affection, why the cut loose, why is it not an issue that's at the forefront of the news and the pastors? And I think it's a question that has to be asked. You know, the why, there's this just deafening silence in the face of this. What do you want? I mean, it's a global epidemic.
It really
of persecution.
Is. I mean, look, if you're on Facebook, just about anything of any issue pops up. I rarely see anything pop up about Christian organizations attempting to mobilize against persecuted Christians in Africa or wherever. And I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but I haven't seen it. Doesn't mean it's not there. But I see more of a focus coming from Jewish organizations on this because we understand the plight of being the weaker voice.
Look, it belies the question, which Jewish organizations and how are they engaging in the issue? Okay. You know, and I'll tell you, with the coalition Save the Persecuted Christians,
you know,
of which I'm a co-founding member.
We're going to have to stop right there for a break. So yeah. Don't forget that last phrase, and we're going to come into it. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio, having a great discussion about persecuted Christians and actually how we can sort of alert the public to what's going on, raise awareness. You're listening to us here on Israel News Talk Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Shalom from the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri. Join me every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 o'clock Eastern, for A Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Hear the news and views from the heartland of Israel every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time. Be there.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back to Israel News Talk Radio's Beyond the Matrix. I'm Rod Bryant, and my co-host, worthy co-host who just turned and a wonderful birthday. May Hashem give you many, many more years, because I've have to outlive you, and you're older than I. So we've got some work to do, Jerry. And I mentioned, did you know he had a tropical storm named after him, Rabbi?
Yeah,
that's what
indeed.
A birthday. What a birthday. What? I'm telling you. Must be a special Jew. I'm telling you. Rabbi, we were right before we went to the break, you were getting ready to mention some of the work that you've been doing. Why don't you sort of introduce this idea that you sit on a board of a globe that really focuses on global Christian persecution, correct?
Yes, it does. The board, I'm a founding advisory committee member for an organization, a grassroots organization called Save the Persecuted Christians.
Is there a website that they can go to?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there a website?
Yes, as a matter of fact, SaveThePersecutedChristians.org.
Okay, good.
Okay. And people can visit the websites and see what we're about. They can also download materials from the website. They can order materials from the website, including huge banners that can be displayed in front of houses of worship, churches, synagogues, that says Save the Persecuted Christians, as a matter of fact. My involvement, there were a number of people who are involved with this effort who mentioned that they were looking to assemble some kind of grassroots effort to raise awareness of the plight of Christians throughout the world. And the discussion ended up moving over towards, well, is there a model for this? And, you know, basically a couple of us said, well, there is a model for this. Well, what's the model? The model is a student struggle for Soviet Jewry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which, began in 1964, literally in the basement of a synagogue in Cleveland, Ohio, and ended up morphing into a movement that caught the attention of various members of the United States Congress, including Vanek and Representative Vanek and Senator Jackson, led to legislation that withheld most favored nation trading status with the Soviet Union until the gates of immigration were open to Jews specifically and others who wanted to leave the Soviet system generally. And so successful, literally, I mean, this was the movement that led to the collapse of the Soviet Union in the minds of many people. I was a teen leader for the student struggle of student struggle for Soviet Jewry in southwestern Connecticut. So, yeah, you know, my involvement with this effort ended up coming about quite naturally for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some unbelievable people that sit around this table. As some of us travel a bit to speak about this issue, I was just out in Denver 2.5 weeks ago. At an event, actually it was a mass for the persecuted Christians, and then a breakfast with a whole display that people can find on our website in order, as a matter of fact, if they want to have a permanent website in their institutions that highlight the issues dealing with Christian persecution throughout the world.
Yes, and the website, again, I'll mention is Save the Persecuted Christians. That is s.org. There's plenty of information. I have it pulled up right now. Rabbi, let me ask you, look, the person that's listening, Jewish, Christian, it doesn't really matter. What can you say that would spark a fire underneath them to make a difference in the world, to actually, especially being a Jew, to be a light and to help bring a focus of light on this persecution?
Well, look, if you're just a general human being that feels for others, which is what we're taught to.
Correct.
I mean, we're taught this in Judaism, you
right.
know, we're particularistic, but there are universalistic strains that are within Judaism itself. You know, if you read the news and watch the news, what little's reported about Christians being tortured and beheaded and,
it's almost
and
zero.
Decapitated it's almost and zero. Immolated yes. and raped and enslaved and sold and, you know, cruelly murdered. You know, it's, as I said in December, it's time to be prescriptive. Mm-hmm. And here's what people can do. All right. You know, religious leaders and religious institutions, churches and synagogues need to wake up to the suffering of our global brothers and sisters. And if pastors and rabbis have to inform congregations by way of sermons and bulletins and whatnot, you know, clergy, those of us who are clergy, and specifically those of us who function in the pulpit, we have a collective responsibility not to allow people to become complacent. And I say this all the time. Our job is not to make our congregants feel good. Our job is to challenge our congregants spiritually, intellectually, right. to coach action, okay, and to coach action in a relationship with God. That's what we're supposed yes. to do.
It's like postmodern prophets. You have a responsibility. Yeah. You have a responsibility to the people to tell them what God is expecting of them and what is needed to change the world, yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, look, we mentioned this last time I was on, right? The saying from Pirkei Avot, you know, yep. if I'm only for myself, what am I?
What am I? Right.
Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we focus on the internal and we focus on the external as well.
So,
okay.
So can I ask
number
you
two, okay, we believe in the power of prayer.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
Okay. 100%. Christians believe in the power of prayer. They believe in it because we taught them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's power in prayer. You have to create prayer communities. Okay. But you have to understand the rabbinic aphorism, you pray as if all depends upon God, but you have to act as if all depends upon you. Prayer that does not lead to action is not prayer at all.
Can you please?
Avram Joshua Heschel used to say he would pray with his feet.
Right. Can you please repeat that phrase? You said before, you that whole phrase is a profound phrase, and I don't even know if you could remember it.
Pray as if all depends upon God, but act as if all depends upon you.
That's incredible. Absolutely. And so
listen, it's not from Hausman. That's from rabbinic tradition.
Right. So with that being said, you're encouraging a person, say a person is a member of a synagogue or a local congregation, to go to the website, pull the material, start their own sort of community effort to bring together people to talk about this issue and to become activists. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And okay. I'll even go better than that. And this is what I also said in Denver, because I had people saying right in the middle, you need to understand, this was a mix between Catholics and evangelicals were my people I was addressing, you know, with evangelicals, they respond.
Oh yeah.
As you're speaking.
Right.
Okay. And right in the middle of this, I had a few of them saying, but our pastors don't know anything. Our pastors aren't listening. And I said, you want to know something? I said, are you approaching your pastors? Are you challenging your pastors? I said, you know, look, I'm in the pulpit. I said, I have 24 hours in a day. I don't have enough time in a day to handle everything I have to handle.
Right.
I said, but you know something? I said, if a congregate comes to me who's energized by something that I've said.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Moved by some kind of exhortation to move beyond the confines of what he or she found comfortable. Okay. That means I'm challenging. So I said, we like to be challenged. We want right. to hear, we want to know that people are listening to us. We want to know that people are being challenged by us, and we want to be challenged by our congregation as well.
And I'm going to tell you what, as a pulpit rabbi, you would empower that person to be able to step up and do what they need to do. You would give them the ability to do it. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. You want me to be engaged? Well, that means you have to be engaged.
Come on, that's
too.
Right. That's
you
right.
can't, from a Jewish perspective, you can't say, Rabbi, you know, I have a yard site upcoming. You know, you have to go say Kaddish for me. No, it's not enough for me to be at Minyan. You know, Minyan is there for you too. You
right.
have to go and be engaged to right. create this community.
So what we're asking people to do, if you're Christian, then that's one thing. If you're Jewish, it's another. But it's time for individuals to step up and be a noise, an annoyance loud enough to make a difference. And this is the reason why I was encouraged when you talked about the big shift that took place from this nucleus of about four or five people that started off about Soviet Jewry. right?
Right. And you know how many years it took before Representative Vanek and Senator Jackson got hold of this?
I don't know how many years, but I mean,
it was about 8 years.
And this started off for the handful of people.
Yes. Right. Yes. But you want to know something? And not just a handful of people, a handful of people to address an issue which the alphabet soup of Jewish organizations in the American Jewish organizations were not addressing. They were not addressing this issue.
Right.
Okay. You know, you have to do all of these things in order to build coalitions necessary to lobby elected leaders,
right,
necessary to move, you know, institutions to take action. You know, to change the culture of institutions is very difficult.
You know,
but it isn't going to happen if you don't push them.
No, absolutely. And with that being said, we have to wrap up the show. It's been a fantastic show having you on again, and we want to have you on another time. But here's the challenge. We're going to lay it out to you guys. It's time to pick up the mantle, and especially for the Jewish community, what a great opportunity to do what Jerry, my good friend, said at the beginning, ask the question about what are we doing to be a light into the nations? What a great tool to be a light, and that is we save those who may not be particularly a part of the tribe, but they are people, they're human beings, and they're an important part of bringing about peace in the world. You can go to this website. I want to mention again, SaveThePersecutedChristians.org. SaveThePersecutedChristians, one long word, .org. You don't want to miss it, Rabbi Hausman. Thank you so much. I look forward for us to have this great conversation again very soon. And Jerry and myself and Rabbi Hausman says shalom and see you guys next week at this time.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.